Here was just the opposite. Health and harmony. Goodwill and generosity. These Folkin did not hear the Rose singing exactly, but they didn't need to. They were the lucky ones. And on some level, every one of them knew it. Which was luckiest of all. He watched them come in and cross to the lift boxes that were called elevators, moving briskly, swinging their pokes and packages, their gear and their gunner, and not one course was a perfectly straight line from the doors. A few came to what she'd called the garden of the beam, but even those who didn't bent their steps briefly in that direction as if attracted by a powerful magnet. And if anyone tried to harm the Rose, there was a security guard sitting at a little desk by the elevators. Roland saw, but he was fat and old. And it didn't matter if anyone made a threatening move. Everyone in this lobby would hear a scream of alarm in his or her head, as piercing and imperative as that kind of whistle only dogs can hear. And they would converge upon the would-be assassin of the Rose. They would do so swiftly, and with absolutely no regard for their own safety. The Rose had been able to protect itself when it had been growing in the trash and the weeds of the vacant lot, or at least draw those who would protect it. And that hadn't changed.
"Mr. Deschaine, are you ready to go upstairs now?"
"Aye," he said. "Lead me as you would." 7. The familiarity of the woman's face clicked into place for him just as they reached the elevator. Perhaps it was seeing her in profile that did it, something about the shape of the cheekbone. He remembered Eddie telling him about his conversation with Calvin Tower after Jack Andolini and George Biondi had left the Manhattan restaurant to the mind. Tower had been speaking of his oldest friend's family. They liked to boast that they have the most unique legal letterhead in New York, perhaps in the United States. It simply reads, "Deepno."